Grace, mercy, and peace be yours from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Recently, I watched a movie entitled The Help. It's a movie about race relations in Mississippi in the 1960s. In one particular scene, there is a group of white women who have gathered in a house and they're all playing cards. In front of the house, you can see all of their cars parked as evidence that there's a party going on inside. Everyone inside's enjoying the party, playing cards, and the host walks by a window and she glances and notices another woman getting out of her car. That woman had in her hand a pie, but that woman wasn't invited to the party. And so as this woman was walking up to ring the doorbell, the host had all the women hide. There they were, hiding underneath the table, hiding in the kitchen so that the woman would not see that anyone was home. And as she was getting ready to knock upon the door, the host muttered under her breath, "What is she doing here?" Well, perhaps we could ask that question here in Matthew chapter 2. What are these magi doing here? Matthew is about the Messiah. It makes sense to me to write in chapter 1 about the Messiah and trace his genealogy all the way back to David and Abraham. It makes sense to me to tell about how angels appeared to Joseph and Mary. It makes sense to me to talk about his miraculous conception by the power of the Holy Spirit. It makes sense to talk about King Herod in chapter 2, because isn't he the outgoing and Jesus the incoming king of the Jews? But what are these magi doing here? They're Gentiles, and like the woman with the pie, they simply do not belong. It's scandalous. And yet we see, look, says Matthew, magi from the east appeared. And what is more scandalous is that these magi are here at this house at God's invitation. They are part of God's divine plan. They come into the house and they see Mary with the child. And they bow down and they present their gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh, three gifts given by the Magi. But note in the text, God gives more. God gives at least four gifts in this text. He gives a star. We're even told it is his star. This little child that they have come to worship is the very child who created the star that they followed to this place. The second gift given was God's holy word. They show up in the wrong place, don't they? In Jerusalem. But after consulting God's holy word, they find out that it is in Bethlehem, in the land of Judah. You know, God's holy word perhaps even led the Magi to consider, when the star first appeared, to travel. Have you ever thought that perhaps there's a connection between the Magi visiting and 500 years earlier, when Daniel is in the court of King Nebuchadnezzar? Daniel's in the court of the king and he interprets his dream. Remember, King Nebuchadnezzar presents his dream to the Magi, and the Magi said, they stalled at first and they said, no one can interpret the dream except the gods, and the gods do not dwell with men. It could have been Daniel, who shared Numbers 24:17, which says, "A star will rise in Jacob, and a man will stand up from Israel, and he will break the princes of Moab." The third gift was the dream. Remember how Herod said, "Find the child, and then come back and tell me so that I too can go and worship him." We all know that Herod, of course, had no intent to worship Jesus, but rather to destroy him. And God, in a dream, warned the Magi, and they traveled home a different way. But the most precious gift, more precious than gold or frankincense or myrrh, was God's own Son. God's own Son in a house, dwelling with men. And so I have a similar question that I asked at the very beginning of this sermon. What are you doing here? It doesn't make any sense. And yet God, who created the stars, is dwelling with humanity. True God, true man, Jesus Christ, the incarnation, is part of God's divine plan to go to the cross and the empty tomb. You see, Herod killed young children under the age of 2, but he didn't kill Jesus Christ. No, part of God's divine plan was that he would grow up, that he would live a perfect life, a life that you and I are unable to lead, that he would grow up, that he would take upon himself the sin of the world, your sin and my sin, that he would stretch out his arms upon a cross where he would be called the King of the Jews, that he would be laid in a tomb. But you know what is even more scandalous? Is that 3 days later, 3 days after Jesus died, he walked physically out of the tomb. 500 years before the birth of Jesus, Daniel is sharing about the Messiah with Nebuchadnezzar and the other Magi. Have you ever thought about 500 years from today? God still works through means, doesn't he? Back then it was through a star, through his word, through a dream, through people. Today, God will still and does still work through means, holy baptism and communion. But have you ever thought, why are you here? It is only by God's grace, like the Magi. God leads, God directs, God adopts Gentiles into his family, and you will have the privilege to share that gospel message. 500 years from now, people won't even remember your name. But I guarantee you that 500 years from now, if Jesus has not returned and taken us all to be with him, the church will continue. And people will still bow down and worship the King, because God the Holy Spirit will and does work through you. In his precious and holy name, amen.